You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Gospel and Islam, is the second message in the series What's the Difference? Is based on Galatians chapter 1 and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
I'm going to ask you to stand this morning as we read from the book of Galatians chapter 1 to start our time here together. Great book, Galatians. It's an intense book. If you've read the book, you started reading this book in your own quiet times here in the midweek. Man, it's got tone. If there's ever an epistle in the New Testament that's got tone, it's this one. Paul, an apostle not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever, Paul says, amen. Isn't that a nice intro, a nice greeting? Then listen to what he says. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men, Paul says, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Father, we have left our homes this morning to come to this house, to this place of meeting, to meet with God. We come, Lord, this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come, God, this morning with our minds, seeking truth. And we come, Lord, with our hearts, our spirits. We are here, people on a spiritual journey, all of us, all of us. We ask, Lord, that you would touch our eyes this morning by your Holy Spirit, that we might see the Scriptures and see who God really is. We pray, Lord, that you would open our ears that we might hear today. Help us, God, on this journey. And as Lord, as we gather here today, we're trying to understand what is the gospel and what is the difference between the gospel of Christ and other religious thoughts. So here we are as disciples, students, learners. And we ask, Lord, now that you would teach us. And Lord, we pray for the individual who's behind the pulpit this morning, that this person would speak clearly and without error. And Lord, this would be done not for the glory of man or anyone else's kingdom, but yours and yours alone. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all may be seated. And as you do, I want to welcome you to a second week of a series that we're doing here at Woodbridge called What's the Difference? And what we're doing is we've taken the gospel of Jesus and comparing it to other religious thoughts, other belief systems, religious systems. If you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to go online and listen to the message that was given last week. Because last week, that message was simply called The Gospel. And what we're doing is every week we're going to be building upon last week's message of what the gospel is. And in order to compare or make what is the difference, we've got to know what we're comparing. And so last Sunday we did the best I could do just to explain what the gospel is. And so if you haven't had a chance to hear that message, encourage you to go online and listen to it this week. And we even have CDs that you could go out there and get and buy, and that would be cool. So let me say that. Let me also say this. Tolerance is not about agreeing with everything that another person says. Can I say that again? Tolerance is not agreeing about everything that another person says. To be tolerant means you can adamantly disagree with another person and still be cordial and kind. Does that make sense? To be tolerant means you can disagree with another person to be cordial and kind. My goal during this series is to be cordial, to be kind, and to be clear. Okay? This morning's message is, what's the difference between the gospel and Islam? I have friends that are Muslims. I love Muslim people, but I do not love Islam, which is the theology or the teaching of Islam. Does that make sense? Jesus commands us to love all people. I have friends that are Muslims, okay? And we have great discussions. And I am cordial and kind with them, and they are cordial and kind with me. And I love them, but I don't love the teaching of Islam itself. And there's a difference. Does that make sense? That's tolerance. That's tolerance. What I'm going to be gunning for here during this series is we're going to be cordial, we're going to be kind, and my goal is to be clear that every week when you walk out of here, you'll be able to say, this is the gospel, and this is the difference between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and fill in the blank. Okay? This week's Islam, next week's Mormonism, the next week after that is religious traditions, as we're calling it, and then we're going to have Judaism, what's modern-day Judaism, Jehovah's Witnesses. We might even try to squeeze in Buddhism. We've had some people asking if we could do what's the difference between the New Testament gospel and Buddhism. So we're going to have some fun with this as we move along, okay? All right, so, by the way, just to help you on your journey, we have these available out in the foyer, and it's called Christian. It's basically a comparative religions, and you can open this up, and it's got every religion that you can imagine and compares what is Christianity to different religious thoughts. And we have these out in the foyer, and I think that you would love this. And so they cost us $3 to buy these. I'd love for you all to grab one. It's called Christianity, Cults, and Other Religions. And I think it would bless you big time. So that's out there. And also, by the way, we have out there the Jesus movie in every known language you could dream of. And this one actually is in Arabic. And it's the story of Jesus, the gospel of, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the life of Jesus put in a movie, and it's all in Arabic. This one's in Arabic. It's in Benghazi. It's in Farsi. It's just amazing. So these are out there. So I would encourage you, as we're all on a spiritual journey, to do this. By the way, if you're here today, and let's say that you're not a believer in Christ, you're not a believer in New Testament Christianity, praise God. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the spiritual journey that all of us are on. So I just want to welcome you all here, all of you. Okay, here we go. We at Woodbridge Community Church are... It's funny, as a police chaplain, I had an officer one day look at me, and he said, "Chaplain, what is your church in business for?" I thought that was a beautiful question. I thought about it, I looked up in the sky, I looked back down, I looked at him and said, "Our church is in business to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus." I liked it. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, "Okay, I get it." And then I began asking him, "Have you met Jesus?" Great conversation. We are in business to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Now, to know Jesus is to know his gospel. To know Jesus is to know who Jesus is and what Jesus did for you on the cross. To change what Jesus did on the cross is to change the work of Jesus, okay? So we have to be clear on who is Jesus. Now, the book of Galatians is written on this topic. 2,000 years ago, there was a very famous religious man in the world. He was a modern-day terrorist of 2,000 years ago named Paul. Paul was a Jewish Pharisee, a religious Pharisee, who rose up against the believers of Jesus and began pursuing the believers of Jesus, killing the believers of Jesus, throwing them in prison and torturing them, all those things. And one day this man met Jesus and his life changed. And he went from an opponent of Jesus Christ to one of the greatest disciples, I guess you could say, of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. And this man ended up traveling and going all throughout the Roman world proclaiming Christ. He wrote half of the New Testament in the Bible. And Paul was from Jerusalem. And as Paul was cruising up out of Jerusalem, he cruised into modern-day Turkey, and there's a region there called Galatia. And he went there, and he preached Jesus. You guys all need to meet, know, and follow Jesus. And people did. Now, I want to read what his message was. And I think it's so fabulous. I've been meditating on this week myself. I love this piece of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to open that up. And I'll tell you, if you wanted to underline something, there's words in here that you want to just hold on to. So what was Paul preaching as he was going throughout the Roman world 2,000 years ago? He was saying this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ, through the Messiah, through Jesus. God the Father reconciling," you should underline that word and stir that word in your life. He's reconciling, God is reconciling us to him through his Son. Do you understand? "And gave us," Paul says, "the ministry of reconciling." I want to reconcile you with God. The ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Underline this. Not counting people's sins against them. Think about that. My brother Miguel passed away on Tuesday. And as he went into heaven, according to the gospel of Jesus, as he got there, all his sins is not counted against him. All the sins he committed in his life. How can that be? Because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And how much of Miguel's sins is not counted against him? All. All means all, and that's all that all means. How much? All sin. This is the gospel of Jesus. Listen to this. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is the perfect sinless person. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. This is the gospel, okay? This is the gospel that Paul preached. As Paul was going through Galatia, this is what he was saying. Now, what happened is that people were going behind the Apostle Paul and messing with the message of Paul. People were going behind the Apostle Paul as he would leave a city. These people would hear, they'd believe, a church would be planted, believers in Christ, and then they would leave, and he would leave, and he would go on, and people were coming back from Jerusalem. They were Jewish religious people following the Apostle Paul, and they would go behind him and say, "What Paul told you is not 100% true. His message is not 100% accurate. It's not Jesus plus nothing. What Jesus did on the cross, all your sins." They would go behind and say, "That's not true. It's not what Jesus did only, but you also need to do other religious practices in order to be reconciled to God." Okay? And in this case, they were talking about an Old Testament Jewish ritual that you also have to do. And he was messing with people. These people were coming behind and stirring up what Paul did. When Paul hears this, he picks up his pen and writes the letter of Galatians. And as you can read it, it is intense. It is intense. Again, Galatians 1:6. He's responding to these people hearing and some of them believing in these other people. He says, I am amazed, Paul says. Galatians 1:6. I am shocked, Paul says. I am stunned that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ. Grace means you don't earn it. It's just a gift, right? Unmerited favor. From the grace of Messiah for a different gospel, which is really not another, but only there are some of you who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now listen to what Paul says. But if we, Paul says, if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we've preached to you, he's to be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, and he says it a second time, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. When Paul says this twice, you know what the translation is? This is serious. He says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or God? Or am I striving to please men? It says, if I was still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul is, he kind of ends this statement, and he says, I'm not trying to be a pleaser of man. I'm a pleaser of God. And he says here, I know that I'm ruffling your feathers. I know that I'm causing some controversy. Paul says, but I don't care. I do not care. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. It's the message. And he goes on to say, if I was to come back to you and preach a different gospel than the one I gave you before, I need to be accursed. If another man comes and preaches to you another gospel, that person should be accursed. And Paul says, if an angel from heaven ascends from heaven and comes to earth and says and preaches a different gospel, that angel is to be accursed. The word that Paul is using is the Greek word anathema. It is a strong word. This word means, may these people be cut off forever. May these people be people of damnation, dedicated for destruction. Dedicated for destruction. If anyone messes with the gospel of Jesus, may they be dedicated for destruction. It's heavy. If anyone messes with the gospel of Jesus, may they be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever. You get it? It's Jesus and what he did on the cross for you, plus no other religious act. If you try to add something to this, you take away from what he did for you on the cross. Do you understand? Okay, you need to believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross, and you need to do blank. That's a different gospel. That's a different gospel. Are you with me so far? Okay, you got it? So this is the gospel. So what we're going to do here today is we want to compare the gospel. What's the difference between the gospel and Islam? And if you've read or studied Islam, about 550 years after Paul wrote the book of Galatians, according to Islam, an angel did come to earth to a man named Muhammad in 610 AD. And this angel began giving revelations to the prophet Muhammad, the Islamic prophet. And in the message, basically the angel said, what the Christians believe is wrong. That Jesus didn't die on the cross, and you are still in your sin. Okay? Now, I am a skeptic. I'm a skeptic who became a believer in Christ through asking a lot of questions. In high school, I called myself an atheist, and I made fun of religious people. And then I began reading the Bible, ended up becoming a Christian. After 9/11, I remember watching the planes flying into the buildings. I was wondering, what are these people thinking that could do this? So I went down to Barnes & Noble just down here, and I bought a Quran. This is mine. And I read it. I read the Quran. And my desire was is to figure out, what are they thinking? What do they believe? So now what I want to do is I'm going to read to you just some verses from the Quran. Now understand, 550-some years later, after Paul says this, an angel does come, according to Islamic theology. Gabriel is his name. The angel Gabriel begins speaking to Muhammad and begins giving revelations. God spoke in the Old Testament through Moses and the prophets and Jesus, but the Old Testament has been screwed up. The New Testament's been messed up. Man screwed up the message of God. So God is now here to straighten out the message and make it right again. And I will keep that, remember this, because it's the same theology of Mormonism that we'll study next week. God's learning. He tried to communicate clearly. Man screwed it up. So now God has to redo himself. We'll talk about that next week. Listen to this. This is Surah chapter 4. So, by the way, in the Quran, instead of chapters, they're called surahs. So they're broken down. And this is Surah chapter 4. Surah 4, verse 156. Okay? So listen to this. And here it is. Now I'm going to read. This is not the Bible. I'm reading from the Quran. And because of their sayings, we slew the Messiah, the son of Mary, Allah's messenger. They slew him not, nor crucified, but appeared so unto them. And lo, those who disagree concerning it are in doubt thereof. They have no knowledge, therefore, to save pursuit of a conjecture. They slew him not for certain, but Allah took him up unto himself. Do you get that? Jesus didn't die on the cross. He did not, was not slain. He appeared to be. He didn't die for your sins. You're still in them. And they are still counted against you. Take notes on this. You're going to take notes this morning. What's the difference between New Testament Christianity and Islam? Number one, Jesus didn't die for your sins on the cross, and you are not reconciled to God. Surah 4, 157, if you want the Islamic quote. That's the difference, right? Next one. Because that's true, you need to work off your sins through religious activity. Are you with me? You need to work off your sins through religious activity. Now, Surah 23 is a great verse, and this is what it says, if you want to understand Islamic theology. It says, and when the trumpet is blown, that means when you die, the trumpet is blown, there will be no kinship among them that day, nor will they seek or ask one another. You're going to be all alone before God. And those whose scales are heavy, they are the successful. And those whose scales are light are those who lose their souls in hell abounding. The fire burneth their faces, and they are glum therein. In Islamic theology, since Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sins, when you die, there are scales, okay? And your scales, when you stand before God, does your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds? Are your good deeds heavier than your bad deeds to where God, Allah, that's the Arabic name for God, lets you into heaven? So you now are on call. You are being watched by God of your good deeds and your bad deeds, because your sins are not forgiven and they are counted against you. Are you with me? Do you understand? So here are these scales. In heaven, there are scales, write this down, where God is measuring your good deeds and your bad. This is the difference between Christianity and Islam. In Islam, there are angels, recording angels, that are recording your good deeds and your bad deeds. And at your death, the scales of your life will be red, and hopefully your good deeds will outweigh your bad, and you get to go to heaven. Okay? You with me? So here lies the question, well, what are the good deeds of Islam that one has to do in order for the scales to tip in your favor? It's called the five pillars of Islam. Have you ever heard of this before? There are five things that a Muslim person must do. These are the things you've got to do in order to tip the scales. And I'm going to quote them to you. You can write these down if you want to. One is there's a repetition of a creed of Islam. And the creed goes like this. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Okay? It is a statement of faith that a Muslim person makes. It would be like a Christian saying, if you want to become a Christian, pray this prayer to receive Christ. Well, in Islam, this would be the creed of Islam, but they say it all the time. Okay? They are to say this creed five times a day. These are the first words a Muslim child hears, and most probably the last words uttered by a dying Muslim. To say this in faith is to become a Muslim. And they are to embrace this prayer. By the way, if you go online and listen to the cockpit recorders of the people flying the planes into their targets on 9/11, you will hear them quoting this creed. Okay? This is what they were saying as they were flying the planes. You are to pray five times a day toward Mecca. This is the second one. If the first one's a creed, the second one is you need to pray five times a day toward Mecca, dawn, midday, mid-afternoon, sunset, and nightfall. And these are prescribed prayers that are uttered after a Muslim has washed his hands, his feet, and his face. Okay? That's the second of the five pillars of Islam. The number three is the giving of alms. Charity is mandatory under Islamic law and is taxed somewhere between 2.5 and 10% of one's wealth. The fourth pillar of Islam, in honor of when Muhammad first received his revelations from the angel Gabriel, Muslims are called to fast during the month of Ramadan, right? From sunrise to sunset, all Muslims are called to fast from all food, drink, smoking, and relationships with the opposite sex during the daytime. And the last of the five pillars of Islam, does anyone know what it is? You have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca once in your lifetime if you are able to. You must travel to the city of Mecca. These are the five pillars of Islam, okay? These are the things that help with the scales. Now, if you do these five things, are you promised heaven? Answer? No. It's how much do you do these things compared to all the other stuff you do, and when you get to heaven, hopefully the scales of your sins versus the good deeds you do will outweigh and Allah will let you in. You are not promised heaven by doing these things. Do you understand? This is the difference. In Islamic theology, the only way you are promised heaven, and you should write this down. In Islamic theology, the only way that you are promised heaven is if you die for God. Okay? This is Surah Chapter 9, verses 111. Lo, Allah has bought from the believers their lives and their wealth because the garden will be theirs. That's called paradise. The garden is paradise. Will be theirs. They shall fight in the way of Allah and shall slay and be slain. It is a promise which is binding on him in the Torah and in the Gospel and the Quran, who fulfills his covenant better than Allah. Rejoice then in your bargain that you have made, for that is the supreme triumph. Okay? If you die for Allah, and they call it a jihad, it's a holy war, you are pardoned. The scales tip in your favor. The garden is promised to those who shall fight in the way of Allah and slay and be slain. Surah chapter 3 says this. See if I can give you this one. Okay, here we go. This is Surah chapter 3, 157 in the Quran. And what though ye be slain in Allah's ways or die therein, surely pardon from Allah and mercy are better than all that they amass. And though you be slain in Allah's ways or die therein, surely pardon, the scales tip, you are pardoned if you die for God. This is Islamic theology. Okay, how we doing? You all right? Is there a difference between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and Islamic theology? Anyone? In the New Testament gospel, you are promised a pardon. Write this down. You are promised a pardon from your sins by God coming to earth and dying for you. Y'all get that? In the New Testament gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What Jesus does on the cross, believe on what he did for you on the cross. Jesus plus no other religious activity. Do you understand? Does Islam add to the gospel of Jesus? Answer, no. It eliminates it. It does not exist. You should take that down. Does the Islamic religion doesn't add to the gospel of Jesus? It eliminates the gospel. Jesus did not die on the cross for your sins. You are still in your sins. They are still counted against you, and you need to work your sins off through moral effort. Islam is a work-based faith in the purest sense. And I did this last week, and I'm doing it again. Religion is man working his way toward God, up toward God through moral effort. All religions are this way. Man must work his way to God through moral effort. The gospel is completely different than religion. The gospel is completely different than religion. Religion is man working his way to God through moral effort. The gospel is God in his love, mercy, and grace has worked his way to you through his son Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. Do you understand? In Christianity, it is not your works. It is God's works. It's so different. Do you understand? If salvation is achieved through moral effort, the question has to be asked, well, how much moral effort, how good do I have to be in order to go to heaven? That's really the question in the scales. If my salvation is based upon my moral effort, well, how good do I have to be in order to go to heaven? That's a great question, right? Jesus answers that question in his famous Sermon on the Mount. How good do you have to be in order to go to heaven? Answer, you have to be perfect. Be ye perfect. That is how good you have to be to go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people do. Do you know any? Because for all us non-perfect people, there's the gospel. And for perfect people, then you can go on your moral effort. The gospel is for non-perfect people, sinners who fall short of God's glory. The New Testament gospel is awesome. And it is not works-based faith. It's a relationship with God, and it's a completely different thing. God has come to you and made his relationship with you. It's a completely different thing. Are you with me? See, people, you can't work your way up to God. You can't do it because you can't work your way into perfection because you're already not. So God in his love, mercy, and grace has worked his way down to you. For God so loves the world, he gave his son. God came for you. The gospel is rooted in love. Jesus tells us, because I have loved you, I command you to love one another, to love your enemies, to pray for those who persecute you. There's a great story, if you've ever had the opportunity to, I was infatuated with this book. This young man's father started Hamas. He was born in Ramallah. He was a young man raised. His father was a religious pastor, I guess you could say. And his father started a terrorist organization called Hamas, okay? This young man picked up guns early on, tried to kill people, tried to do what he was taught and all this and that. And somebody gave this young man a Bible. Actually, in the Damascus Gate, and I'm going to be there on April 1st. When I walk through that gate, I think of this man because somebody out there and gave this guy a Bible in Arabic, a New Testament Bible. This guy began reading the teachings of Jesus. As he began reading the teachings of Jesus, he began to see there's just a radical difference between what he has been raised in and what Jesus teaches. And he actually came to a place where he and himself knew that this person was going to go blow themselves up in the name of Allah at this place, and they were his friends. And he's like, how can I let this happen? As a person who's believing in Jesus. And he was in a moral dilemma. And he ended up calling the religious authorities, the Israeli authorities, and saying, I need to tell you that if someone's going to go over to Ben Yehuda Street in Jerusalem tomorrow at the pizza place, and he's going to detonate himself and kill himself and a bunch of other people. And because this is wrong, I can't let this happen. And he writes this. This is so fabulous. In his own spiritual journey, he says, but my conscience was being rewired as he's reading the New Testament. My conscience is being rewired. Though not yet a Christian, I was really trying to follow the ethical teachings of Jesus. Allah had no problem with murder. In fact, he insisted on it. But Jesus held me to a much higher standard. Now I found I couldn't permit this. In his own spiritual journey, what he's talking about murder is he's talking about the verses that in order to be, you must die for God in your promised heaven, right? Religion is a, I pray for Muslim people. Because Muslim people are gripped in fear. Am I good enough? I have to work my way up to heaven. I hope I make it. It is a works-based faith that brings no peace to people. I pray for them. I have compassion on them. They have no idea where their scales will be when they die. They enter death in fear. Was I good enough? Was I good enough? Perfect love casts out fear, the scripture says. In the New Testament gospel, you have a savior. It's not scales of good and bad deeds. He pays for your sins on the scale. In the New Testament gospel, you have a savior. Your sins have been washed away in his blood. You are forgiven. It's Jesus plus nothing. Let me say that again. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's what he did for you on the cross, period. God takes the form. He is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. A Muslim has such a hard time embracing this. It's an amazing thought that God would become a human being and die for the sins of his creation, all by love. It's incredible. You don't die for God. God died for you because he loves you. It's rooted in love. It's totally different. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's faith in Christ alone. It's not your goodness, but his. It's not your righteousness, but his. It's not your works, but his. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith." It's God's grace, and it's you just accepting what he did for you on the cross. And this is not from yourselves. You don't come up with this. It's a gift from God. God is giving this to you. Not by works, not by your works, so no one can boast. Do you understand? It's not your works, it's whose works? His. It's his. What's the difference? Do you see the difference? What's the difference? It's a big difference. Now, I want the worship team to come up here, and as they do, I just want to read to you Galatians 3. Paul the apostle came from an incredibly religious Jewish background to where he had to count how many steps he could walk on a Saturday, a Sabbath day's journey. He couldn't light fire because this offended God type thing, right? Paul came from an incredibly religious system and he says, I was set free by the gospel, that my sins are not counted against me, that I've been forgiven in Christ. This is his own spiritual journey. Now, Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 3, and we'll close with this. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. Jesus plus nothing. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by the means of the Spirit, you're now trying to finish by the means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain. So I ask, does God give you his Holy Spirit and works of miracles among you by the law, by you believing what you've heard? Good question. Jesus says that once you are forgiven of your sins, God's Spirit will come inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you are regenerated. The old has passed away and the new has come. All your scales have been forgiven. God comes and dwells inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, you Galatians, did the Holy Spirit come inside of you by Jesus plus nothing or Jesus plus something? Good question. When God came into your lives and performed miracles in your midst, the church in Galatia saw the Spirit do miracles in people's lives. He says, was the Holy Spirit doing miracles in your midst through the gospel of Jesus plus nothing or Jesus plus something? This is his question. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes in people's lives and the Holy Spirit came to the earth, he began doing signs and wonders, miracles. We at Woodbridge Community Church have seen God do miracles at this church in people's lives. Amen. We have miracles. Were these miracles done by Jesus plus something else gospel or Jesus plus nothing gospel? Jesus plus nothing. That's Paul's point. We here at this church who have received Christ in our lives have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And God is working and moving in your life and my life today. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Well, can you leave here and say I answered the question of what's the difference between the New Testament gospel and Islam? Yeah? When people say that all religions are the same, they're ignorant. And I used to say it. I was an ignorant man. All religions are basically the same. That's an ignorant statement. That's for somebody who just hasn't read anything. You're just listening to what someone else told you. The gospel of Jesus is completely unique compared to anything else. It's awesome. So I want to end our service by this. And during this next song, next couple songs, we'll do two, okay? If you are here today and you need the work of God in your life this week, you might be here today and you might be going, man, Pastor Frank, I've got a tough week coming. Why don't you come up here and let us pray for you and let us pray for the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes and then you will be my witnesses, the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are here today and you've got physical, financial, personal needs and you need people to pray for you, you come forward during these next couple songs and we up here will be happy to pray that God would do miracles in your life, that God would come into your life. If you're here today and you just feel you have no power as a Christian and you need to be filled with the power, we'd be happy to lay, just God, fill this person. I'm going to ask for Pastor Vince and Mary Beth to come up here. Ask my wife, Cindy, to come up here. I want to ask, is Dr. Shainer in the house? He's over at Golden Creek. Mike and Pat, I need you up here. Pastor Graham's got a cough, so I'm not letting you hang out with him. So he's staying back. But if you're here today, and you need prayer, because our faith is not just a cognitive faith, it's a spiritual faith, then come forward and we'll be happy to pray with you. And let me say this. If you're here today and you've never received what Christ did for you on the cross, and you would like to have all your sins counted against you, you come up here and tell us that, and we will pray with you. And this day, you could leave here knowing that you have been forgiven by the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is my favorite song. Let's stand all up and stand and sing this song. It's the song called Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. I've been humming this song all week. Sing it with me. I love it. If you need prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you. If not, we're just going to sing praises. Oh, Lord, we praise you for the gospel. We are grateful people that leave this place. Thankful, God, that you have reconciled us to you through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, it is such a relief to know that our sins will never be counted against us as we've accepted Christ and what he's done. Jesus, thank you for how you've tipped the scales in our favor. And how the Bible says we can know that we have eternal life. We know. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to just pray for our Muslim friends. Pray for their spiritual journeys. And we pray that one day these people would hear the gospel of Jesus. And would see the difference. And they would become, as my brother the son of Hamas is, a follower of Christ. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for our gathering here together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and may God's face shine upon you this week. May the Lord lift up his countenance to all of you, and may God give you in your hearts what this world will never have. May God give you peace. It's the Hebrew word shalom. So shalom. Go in peace of God this week. And next week, we're going to talk about what's the difference between the gospel and Mormonism. So read Galatians this week. Get in growth groups, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Woodridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.